Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
high-level theory about, I suppose, education literature and science literature and modes of describing. So I'm beginning to write an education paper, and deconstructing education papers that I read, and saying, what is this doing? What's that? What's this? And how is it different? And I've sort of in my mind got a sort of continuum of this complex scaffolded, scrappy education writing, which basically is pretty much on a amateur enthusiast magazine. I can't tell the difference between education writing and enthusiasm writing. So there's little bits of anecdotes, and it's all over the place. And that's because education is about communication, and it's not for use by the top academics or the people in the field. It's not going to be used by someone to build some more stuff. And so I'm clearly aware that this is different between science education, science literature. So science literature essentially is a citation-based process. So education literature has citation, but the citation communicates more that the person has read papers. I haven't understood that citation is foundation of what you're saying, and you're writing something to be cited. So no one's going to cite something, essentially, if it's not novel. If it's repeating something earlier, the process is that you then ignore that and go to the earliest thing. There's got to be in science education or science, there's got to be some new data, new insight, new structure, which is differentiated, and that's really not necessarily in education. And in order to do that, you need a higher level of precision, and your aim is not really to communicate to an audience. It is to communicate to an audience, but to actually build that frontier. So the idea is that your paper is relevant to that year, the year that you publish it, right now, that people will want to read it in order to make sure that they have the most advanced knowledge, or that they can take this across, or if it's an alternative viewpoint, it is a new alternative viewpoint. It's got to be new in certain aspects. It doesn't have to be in education. And therefore, you got this range of communication styles. And I'm sort of very much aware of this, that there's a difference between a science teacher and a scientist going across. And I've got long to do it here. So in my head, I heard someone, today, I met someone who was an accountant, and I said, and we're just looking at the difference between what accountants are and stuff like that, and how accountants are associated with business, but they don't actually make the money. They don't actually do the product. They credential, they connect, they do all these sorts of different things to lock things together. And I sort of just could see instantly that there was a difference between a businessman, i.e. scientist, and an accountant is someone who connects and credentials and does all these different things. So I could see there's sort of some sort of parallel between an accountant and an educator and an actual scientist. And you've got this mixture here. And sort of began to see is that you can actually reduce what science is as compared to education is by some sort of vague equations which go across. So education, science teaching, or teaching is the subject plus the psychology. So this only came up because the person I was speaking to was, I think, one of the first female accountants in Australia. She was a grandmother and all that type of stuff. She says she also studied MBA and did a psychology degree. And psychology, I thought, oh, that is an aspect, that there is a psychology in education. And so this is the fundamental thing, is that whereas science aims to remove the effect of psychology, to account for it, education is a differential. It's science minus psychology, whereas education really goes in and looks at the psychology. And in order to do the psychology, they talk about a whole lot of other things beside it. But I realise here that you can say, you can start talking equation, and you can talk about a function or subroutine. So science acts on science to create a greater, it's a self-centred thing, it produces more science. So one of the things that science does is you get more in-depth of it. And one of the things that you do, you throw money at it, people at it, talent at it, subtract psychology from it, and at the end of the day, you wind up with this greater scientific advancement. Whereas education produces science is put in it, psychology is put in it, money is put in it, and what does it do? It does. There's a little bit of sort of parascience, which is where education begets stuff, but it actually is essentially a credentialing process, whereas an accountant converts stock and money in the till and stuff like that to a credential, which is then valued and then taxed and stuff like that. So it's credential. What do I produce? I produce people with degrees, people with knowledge at the end of it. That's one aspect of it. And so what the inputs to the function, what the function produces there. And so you have this interesting thing that I'm trying to write up this article on the Internet of Things and actually make an educational one by actually taking the educational structure across. But one of the things is that there is sort of an element of scientific interest in that it is a statement of how scientific progress interacts with education. That's something which doesn't have a lot of psychology to it. Now, the interesting thing is that the metric for standardized communication, language of education, does not... It takes into account several grades of teachers, several grades of students. It does actually take into account the one thing it doesn't take into account is what I'm doing at the moment, which is a scientist getting in and just kicking about the place. That, in terms of you've got a beginning teacher, experienced teacher, a lead teacher. You've got, disadvantaged students, advantaged students, talented students, intellectually marginalized. You've got all these different grades of it, and what actually happens is that you get a space, you create a dimension, you create a variable to it, and you create a matrix of it. There's no accounting for things outside that space. So, say a scientist coming in, or a talented an industry forming a partnership with something. There's no capacity for that to come through. So I thought that was interesting coming through here. Now I'm coming about home after this walk in the park, and it's really not enough. I've got to do a lot more exercise. I don't think I ate too much today, but I feel I did. So I've got to really push myself. I don't think I've lost my quota, my 50 gram or 20 gram a day aiming for. Although certain people, they said you can lose a kilogram a week. That's serious stuff. So I'll just keep on working on it. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll get to you soon.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.